Welcome back to Rights Radio, your independent voice, and this is part two of my interview with Dr. William Taylor of the Center for Strategic and International Studies, and we're talking today about North Korea.
The best thing the Clinton administration did in foreign policy was to negotiate with the North Koreans something called a nuclear agreed framework in 1994. Where, in exchange for them shutting down their nuclear facilities and letting us inspect their nuclear facilities that they already had, we agreed to build a nuclear reactor, with others helping us, the Japanese, South Koreans, and others, a nuclear reactor that could not produce weapons of mass destruction, and to give them several hundred thousand metric tons of heavy fuel oil for their industry and home heating. And that agreement was moving along. It was signed in 1994 very well, I thought. Yeah, it took time, but it was heading in the right direction until the Bush administration came in, and President Bush started talking about the axis of evil, including Iraq, Iran, and North Korea, and said this Clinton deal was no good. In the fall of 2002, sent over team to North Korea, which accused the North Koreans of violating the nuclear agreed framework, and everything went to hell in a handbasket. The progress that was made in getting the North to denuclearize was ended. The North Koreans redoubled their nuclear weapons production facilities, and that's where we went for a few years until even the Bush administration got concerned about how fast the North Koreans were moving in nuclear areas. And we got into the six-party talks. And nobody can tell you where the six-party talks are, except you've had some bright spots and some downers, but it really hasn't made much progress. The North Koreans are building nuclear weapons. They are a significant threat. We've got to find a way to shut them off. And what they want at the moment more than anything else is for the United States to negotiate with them directly. Could we possibly do what the Clinton administration did to achieve what we want? Let's talk directly with the North Koreans. Let's send Clinton back, Bill Clinton, or other former presidents to talk directly with Kim Jong-il, the dear leader of North Korea. And that is his name, by the way.
I want to ask about those two women that walked over the line, crossed the line, found themselves held captive. It just didn't sit well with me. It looked so contrived. And here comes Bill into the rescue, and suddenly talks are resuming. Was this a setup?
Oh, Joyce, it smells, but I can't prove it.
It does, doesn't it?
And those two young women worked for who? Former Vice President Al Gore, who owns the TV firm that they were working for. And they all of a sudden show up with a mission to check some things that were happening. I think it was a movement of North Korean women across the border into China. And they got caught on the other side. Well, now they say no. They got pulled to the other side by North Korean soldiers. It's debatable. But it got Bill Clinton to North Korea. Is that all they talked about for 3.5 hours was nothing but those two women? And I don't know when we're going to find out what happened.
I'm really aghast that the newspapers did nothing about this. If it felt queasy to me, and as you put it, it just didn't smell right, certainly many people around the country had the same reaction. Not a word from the media, not even Fox, questioning whether this might have been a setup in some way prearranged, even if the outcome was positive. Maybe, as you say, we have to negotiate directly, and this was a way to get there. But it's strange.
It is. And maybe we'll find out that it was just a straightforward thing. It happened. There were no ulterior motives.
Well, how are we ever going to find out if no one's going to investigate it?
Time will give us the information.
All right.
Okay. But in the meantime, can we get talking directly to the North Koreans? And here I am sitting here talking about people I've gotten to know pretty well the North Koreans. I've been there four times, have lots of photographs with their former president, Kim Il-sung, and with my wife and with my 12-year-old son at the time. They had me there four times. President Kim said to his leadership, give Dr. Taylor anything he wants, take him anywhere he wants to go. I could go on about a relationship that developed between President Kim Il-sung and my son, but we'll leave that one for a second. I was on my other trips taken to Kim Jong-il's pleasure palace. That is the son of the then president who died in 1994. I was taken to Kim Jong-il's pleasure palace. Kim Jong-il is quite a person, a womanizer and a binge drinker, and you can go on back through the years. They let me talk to his professor at Kim Il-sung University. I talked to the military leadership in four trips to North Korea. You can talk to these people. They are not communist ideologues. Communism is dead. They don't have the Soviet Union behind them anymore, as they did all those years from the Korean War in 1953 forward. Yeah, they're North Koreans. They're former commies. Yes, their leadership is kind of brutal. Yes, they have gulags and prison complexes. Yes, their people do go into starving periods when the weather is terribly bad or something else happens. Yes, democracy is a word, and that's all it is. But you can talk to them, and I think you can deal with them over time. Above anything else, they are Koreans. And I don't want to get off, it doesn't help anybody, for me to get off on my views of the South Korean people. They are terrific. I know mostly they're military people and have the most highest regard for them. And their former president who just died, Kim Dae-jung, got to be a very close friend of mine. I'm looking at an enormous thing that he painted in my, he painted personally in a wall of my home here. They're remarkable people. And I think in dealing with the North Koreans in combination, in league with the South Koreans, who don't want that North Korean nuclear threat either, and with the Japanese, who surely don't want that threat, and the Chinese, who have been fairly explicit, they don't want the North Koreans to have nuclear capabilities, I think we can get this changed. So I'd go back to the North Koreans right now. You want to talk? Let's talk. You want to talk in Pyongyang, Washington, or elsewhere, and get it set up.
I'd have a lot more confidence if they sent you off to North Korea right now, because the argument that you're making, the history, the relationships, the personal relationships that you have in both countries at the highest levels, at the military level, it's fantastic. I hope they'll call on you.
On those trips, I always went with letters.
Mm-hmm.
It was private diplomacy, these trips in 91, 92, 93, 94. But I always had with me letters from Brent Scowcroft or Colin Powell. And I, of course, kept copies of them. But it was private diplomacy, but they acknowledged what I was doing. They didn't commission me to do it, order me to do it, hire me to do it. They recognized what I was doing and said that they supported me.
Is there any private diplomacy going on other than these two women showing up on the wrong side of the line?
Before you finished that sentence, I said, I thought you were talking about private diplomacy going on.
No, but
in the questions that you and I and others have.
No, but is there anybody else that's taking up the torch? Do you see anybody else out there doing some of that or trying to do it?
There are always private initiatives going on. There are always some government initiatives that just don't get anywhere because our approach isn't quite right or some variable comes up in their planning. There's always something going on and you don't hear about it. They don't work out. I don't know what they are now. Steve Bosworth, who is one of the best we've got on Korean affairs, he may be back now in China and others. So what I'm saying about North Korea needs to get, you know, right up there, front page with Afghanistan, I think, is going to happen. We just don't know about it yet.
Okay. That's fascinating. So we're going to be ahead of the news curve, and I'm excited about that.
I think so, too. And anytime we can talk together, I love those years working together at CSIS.
Fantastic.
So anytime you say.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us today on Rights Radio. It's been a phenomenal interview. I'm very pleased that you took the time to join me today.
Thanks, Joyce. We'll talk again.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.